If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
If you've enjoyed the content that we've made so far in 2023, we're asking you to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny and toss us $10 to say thanks as part of August's Kind of Funny Patreon pledge drive. That 10 spot would get you access to more than 300 exclusive episodes of content. And to give you a taste, we're posting one of our Patreon shows just like this each Saturday and Sunday in August. Enjoy. Yo, what's up? Welcome to The Shit List, your Patreon exclusive show where I, Blessing Adeoye Jr., go online and find a top 10 list and I bring it back to Tim of Fucking Gettys and Barry Courtney on the ones and twos, and we judge it for your amusement. However, today, Tim, we're on some different shit.
We are, dude.
We're on some different shit.
Never been this excited for a shit list, I'll tell you that.
This is a very exciting episode because last week we did the top 10 2D platformers, and that was a list that me and you had a lot of beef with. We shat on that list.
I believe
we called it a shit list. We gave it the thumbs down because it was very all over the place.
A couple of wins, but a major loss with the number one spot.
The number one spot was wild. Of course, you can go and check out that episode if you want to know what that is. But Tim, after that episode, I came down with a feeling of, man, what does a top 10 2D platformer list actually look like?
We can dish it, but can we take the shit? Can we take criticism of our own lists, Bless?
Exactly. And so we're on some different shit today. Today, me and you brought our own list of top 10 2D platformers. Because, of course, we're always shitting on other lists. We're always talking about other lists. I figured, hey, yeah, let's do it ourselves.
And let's give them an opportunity to shit on us.
Yeah. And so I thought this was a fun idea. I told it to you. You thought it was a fun idea as well. And so we went our separate ways. We created our separate lists.
Yes.
And we both made Google Docs. We sent them to Barrett. So Barrett's going to do the gradual reveal thing as one does on the
and
show.
And I haven't seen, other than your number 10s, because that's the top of your list, I haven't seen what these lists look like. Blessing asked me a question yesterday, and we got into a debate of what is a 2D platformer and what does that constitute?
And I love it. Because we always talk about this on the shit list. Like, are they trying to say something? You know, do they have an agenda here? And also, like, how fast and loose are they playing by the headline? Dude, I appreciate a list where you look at the headline, you know exactly what it is. But sometimes you need that description to explain. And sometimes it talks itself in circles and just to be able to put a bunch of things together on an article.
Exactly. And so for me, right, starting off with my list, I did have to accept that it's hard to make a top 10 2D platformers list in the way that I idealize it. Because when I say top 10 2D platformers, what I expect usually is like pure platforming, right? If we're going to give a genre a list, you want it to be purely that genre. I want a pure RPG. Don't give me like these games with RPG elements. Give me just the pure RPGs on a top 10 RPG list. What I realized as I was putting together my top 10 2D platformer list is that is really hard to do for 2D platformers.
It is.
Yeah.
And my thing is, I'm same with you, where we talked a lot of shit about the list and we talked about some of these points, but making my list, I found that I was even being a little hypocritical myself.
1,000%.
Of like, well, that's not, but this is. And I'm like, but those are similar. What's the difference? And I don't know what it is. I feel like there is some things that are objective, but there's some that are subjective when it comes to this.
There's some that's like porn. You don't know until you see it.
You don't know until you see it. But I think that for me, it's when I look at the game, when I know what the game is, do I call it a 2D platformer? Or do I call it a Metroidvania? Or do I call it a this? Or do I call it a that? I want to know I call it a 2D platformer.
Okay. See, so I have some ground rules for my personal list. I'm doing only one game per franchise.
Whoa!
Yeah, one game per franchise.
Cool.
To keep things fresh and
interesting. You're crazy.
Because if you're doing a top 10 2D platformer list, I think that then comes down to you're putting five Mario games on there and quite a few. You're seeing a lot of recurring franchises.
If you're doing a top 10 2D platformer list, maybe it should include a couple Marios. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And so I figured, hey, I want this list to be fresh. I want it to be creative. I want this list to show the vibrancy of the genre. And so I'm limiting myself to one game per franchise. I'm doing no Metroidvanias. I think Metroidvanias are distinct enough to be their own list, their own genre. I'm including pure 2D platformers, but I'm also including 2D action platformers, especially stuff that like is heavy in the movement area. And then also, I'm including 2D puzzle platformers.
See, we're about to get into this, and I'm excited to see how these.
Those are the caveats I had to make. Those are the things I had to do in order to make a list that I felt was actually worthwhile. Because the more I thought about this, the more I realized that puzzle platformers and action platformers, I think, still encompass what makes platformers special. And we get into the weeds a little bit of like, yeah, okay, like Mega Man has a gun, and like I would constitute Mega Man as like an action 2D platformer, but also like Mario throws fireballs, like.
Bro, we're in the exact same thought process through my head. And this is where objective subjective comes into play. Yep. Where it's funny because in my opinion, Mega Man, we'll get into this later.
All right. So who wants to start? I can start with my number.
Here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna go 10, 10, 9, 9, 8, 8. We're gonna go back and forth. All right. You wanna start off?
I'll start off.
Let's start off.
So again, ground rules, one game per franchise, pure 2D platformers, also 2D action platforms, 2D puzzle platformers, no Metroidvanias. And starting off my number 10. I got VVVVVV. Tim, okay. Have you heard of this game?
I've heard of it. I have not played it myself.
It's a game that I really enjoyed on the PlayStation Vita. It's a game that is part of that early wave of indie games. It came out in 2010. It started off as like this Flash game, right? But then came to other platforms as well. And I really like this as a 2D platformer. It's on my list partly because it is a pure 2D platformer, right? It is, you are getting over obstacles. It is about navigation. It has a very interesting gimmick in that your character doesn't necessarily jump. Instead, that gravity shifts up and down. And so to get over a platform, you basically like hop onto the opposite platform above you, right? And that's how you're navigating through the world. And it has really fun obstacles. I think it's a very creative game. And it's also, I think it captures a lot of the pure essence of what makes a dope 2D platformer and also what makes a dope 2D indie game. So for me, that's my number 10.
I mean, I love it. I love it. I went in a slightly different direction for my number 10. Mm-hmm. This list is hard for me. 2D platformers are probably one of my favorite genres at the very least. Top three, debatably number one. So starting it off, I was like, man, if we're starting here, it's only going to get better. We're starting off with Rayman Legends.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
This is I feel like the Rayman Origins and Legends games are underrated. I do feel like over time they are talked about potentially appropriately. So I don't think that there's like that much of like these are cult classics or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But I do think that they're not talked about enough for how different they are and for how I would even say revolutionary they are in terms of being a different type of 2D platformer. Being the multiplayer and having the multiplayer side actually enhance the gameplay is something that I feel is true of this and not true of the Mario series. I think that there's fun shenanigans to be had in New Super Mario Bros. Wii and U, where it's for you jumping around and stuff. There's something that feels a bit more collaborative in Rayman Legends that I really appreciate. And on top of that, absolutely stunning, gorgeous art style that these days we see a little bit more often, but at the time was a standout of we're doing something different. It reinvented Rayman and Friends entirely. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, the music levels, the boss fights, they're unique and they're infinitely replayable. They're just a joy to run through and play. And Legends is such a great value because not only does it include amazing platforming levels and bosses and all that, it essentially includes all the content from Rayman Origins. Like you can unlock all of the levels in like slightly enhanced ways. What an amazing package.
Hell yeah. Yeah, I never got around to playing Origins or Legends, but I did play the Rayman mobile game a lot. And what you're talking about for like art style and all that stuff comes through. And even just pure design and how creative that game is in the visuals and in the platforming. I think, yeah, for sure, I can understand how that would translate to Legends and Origins also being fucking excellent for whatever. Mm-hmm.
As the impartial judge here, I would say both of these number 10 picks, inspired. I love it. Starting off on the right foot.
Appreciate it. Well, let's see if that changes with my number 9, which is Yooka-Laylee in the Impossible Lair.
Oh, man.
I fucking love this game. And I think it's one that doesn't get as much credit as it deserves. It's one that flies a bit under the radar, I think partly because the first Yooka-Laylee came out and was like, it was fine, right? And then they put out a 2D platform and people were like, all right, cool. But when you get your hands on it, it plays like a modern Donkey Kong Country game, right? Which I know is funny because Tropical Freeze literally exists. But I think this one for what it brings to the table as far as what makes it unique. One, the fact that the first level is also the last level. You know, the Impossible Lair level is that level that is this big gauntlet of a platforming level. And the only way that you're going to get through that level is by playing the game and getting upgrades so that you're going to be prepared to go back and fight that or complete that first quote unquote level. And so I think that gimmick alone, very creative for a platformer. I would love to see more interesting takes on how to structure your levels and all that. The other thing too is that this game does a thing that I love from Mario 64, which is how you interact with the overworld affects the actual levels themselves. And so you have all these cool puzzles and different things where it is, all right, I can shift this thing. Now water flows into like where this level's at in the overworld, and I hop into this level. Now it's a level filled with water. You know, this game has tons of that, and that opens up the kinds of collectibles you can get in that level. That opens up the different paths you can take. And I love that stuff. I think they were really inspired with that stuff. And I think they did such a good job of creating a platformer, a 2D platform here that feels fresh because of that. And even though it's close to a Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze, it has so much of its own character and so much of its own inspired direction in the game design itself that I got to give it props. I think it does such a great job of being a 2D platformer. That's interesting.
This for me is one of the Tim Getty's greatest misses of my life. I don't think I've ever been recommended personally a game more than this. I have downloaded it multiple times and just have not really given it the shot. I need to. Once there is a lull in games coming out, I gotta dedicate and just
you
do
got
it
to,
because
dude.
There's no way I don't freaking.
It's so
love
funny
this
that you're both like the inverse, where it's like Tim, you love Tropical Freeze, like you would love the Impossible Lair. Yep. Bless, you love the Impossible Lair, you would love Tropical Freeze.
1000%. Oh. Tim, what's your number 9?
My number 9. Super Mario Brothers 2.
Oh, I love this.
Now, here's the thing.
I love this.
Your boy has something to say. Yeah. All right. Whenever you're talking top list of anything, whether it's 2D platformers, video games as a whole, Mario games, you know what we're talking about. We're going to hear about 64. We're going to hear about Odyssey. We're going to hear about World. We're going to hear about 3. People then just write off 2, and it's just, oh, it's Doki Doki Panic. Oh, it's different in Japan. Oh, blah, blah, blah. There is an amazing game here, and it's a unique game that is not something that we see a lot. Super Princess Peach on the DS kind of went back to some of the ideas, but didn't do it nearly as well. There is so much Nintendo joy in this game that is only in this game. And certain things, characters we've seen make appearances in other places, but the idea of subspace and going into the secret doors, finding the way that like warp pipes work in this game is so cool and fresh. And even like the reveal of it was all a dream and all this stuff, it's perfect. Like it's just so simple, and like there's twists on that even that I think are just great. Having the four different characters with different play styles and just the different biomes you go through are weirdly to me some of the more iconic Mario things, and we just don't give this game enough credit, man. Like I think that there's so much to love here for how different it is than the other Marios that people are like, oh, it's nowhere near as good as 3 or whatever. And like, look, hey, it's number 9 on my list.
Yeah.
But I love this game.
Oh yeah, I love that. And this is a game that, you know, is overshadowed by its bigger brothers, right? Super Mario 3
It's the weird middle child.
Yeah, it's the weird middle child, right? Between like the what Mario 1 brought to the table and then what Mario 3 brought to the table, right? Mario 2, also knowing that it's you know, not a real Mario game, but is a real Mario game. It's in that weird spot. You know, we overlook it, but I do think that when you're talking about the grand scope of 2D platformers, and yeah, making a top 10 2D platformer list, there is space for Mario Brothers 2 because it is a fucking excellent game. And when we talk about Mario, one of the things we talk about the most are the secrets and the discovery. Yeah. And Mario 2 is so much of that. My first time playing Mario 2, and you find like, yeah, that secret door, and you go into the other, and you're like, what the
and
fuck?
And there's a mushroom,
this?
Which teaches you, oh, there might be mushrooms in other places. And then you put down the potion and it opens, and you're like, oh, there's no mushroom here. It makes you want to explore every nook and cranny, and you start to learn the signs of like, oh, this looks like if I'm in subspace, there might be a secret here because there's a weird empty spot. That is awesome, man. I was 5 years
even
old.
Even though the origin of Mario 2 isn't originally a Mario game, it is a very much a Mario game just in how they do that stuff.
And with that, I have never played Doki Doki Panic, and I feel like I need to do that because from what I know, it's the exact same game pretty much, just with like sprite changes, maybe a couple music changes, things like that. Mm. But like, I'd be willing to say without playing it, Doki Doki 2 or Doki Doki Panic would make this same spot.
Yeah.
It's not Mario that makes it good, but Mario does make it better.
1000%.
Again, number 9s from both of you. I'm loving it.
Hell yeah.
It so far.
Let's go. All right. Number 8. My number 8 is Super Meat Boy.
Woo!
This is probably a classic pick, right? I mean, VVV comes in at number 10 because I got Super Meat Boy in here, like really cementing this is what indies really brought to the space early on in terms of what a 2D platformer can be developed by either a small team or one person, depending on what the game is. And Super Meat Boy was just impactful in what it brought to the table, right? Like, not only is the gameplay fun, not only is it fast, not only are the short burst levels, like, really excellent and really brought something special in terms of the repeatability of the levels and how fast you're going through the levels and how much how hard they are, how much you don't want to put down the game because it is that, oh, just one more. Like, I mean, what's one level when I can beat it in 30 seconds or whatever? You know, Super Meat Boy was really fun for that. But then, yeah, like, even the presentation and how attitude filled it is and like how much it feels like the evolution of what Flash games were, because I think literally, I don't know the entire history of Super Meat Boy. I think it was that, right? Like, wasn't the first Meat Boy some kind of like browser thing? This is the kind of funny.com says you're wrong, possibly, but you know.
Yeah, it was a Newgrounds game.
Was it a Newgrounds game? That's what I thought.
Alien hominid.
Yeah, them coming out of Super Meat Boy and really nailing it and making it be this thing that is way larger than what it probably was as a Flash game. You know, I think that's something special. And yeah, like, Super Meat Boy has the gameplay, has the presentation, but also has the impact that a game on this list should have. And so that's my number 8.
And I just quick shout out. I love, because of the difficulty, they really lean into it. Like, one of the coolest things, I remember playing this in high school with friends, was like, when we finally beat a level, going like taking turns and dying over and over again, where you beat a level and it shows all of your tries.
Oh, yeah.
So much to the point where, like, if you have so many tries of playing, especially playing on a PC back then, could like possibly break the game a little bit. Yeah. So just a further shout out, like the presentation of little things like that.
Yeah. This was my number 11. This was a really, really difficult one for me to cut on the list. Honestly, probably the hardest choice that I had to make. Mm. One of them, at least. Definitely the hardest omission that I had to make here. It deserves everything. Like, I think that this is a 10 out of 10 video game. Them taking Super Meat Boy, the SMB, Super Mario Brothers.
Yep.
This was a game made by people that grew up with Mario, understand what 2D platformers are. This ushered in an era of what 2D platformers currently are.
Yes.
And what you guys are talking about, the fast pace, the brutal difficulty, but the trial and error of get back right into the action. It's not a gauntlet of having to get through the entire, every single obstacle. It's obstacle by obstacle based, inspired design. This is an incredible game.
1000%. Tim, what's your number 8?
My number 8 is Shovel Knight.
Oh, okay.
All right. Shovel Knight is so damn good, so damn special. Everything I just said about Super Meat Boy, you could apply to Shovel Knight, I think, tenfold, just in terms of ambition. What I think Super Meat Boy does better than Shovel Knight is focus. It does one thing, and it does that one thing extremely well. Shovel Knight is so inspired by the NES era as a whole that this is one of my big debates on, is it a 2D platformer? Why do I have some internal thing that says, I could argue that Mega Man's a 2D platformer, but I feel like it's a little bit more action-y. Whereas I look at this and I'm like, I, for some reason, despite having so many other elements, RPG elements, more action elements, more this, more that, whatever, I still think of it at its core majority as a 2D platformer.
Mm-hmm. I think it's because of the DuckTales like inspiration it has. I think that does, like, I'm going back and forth with this right now with Shovel Knight because it's so many different things and inspired by so many different things. But I do see the argument because of the, like, more DuckTales inspiration, where you get more of the platforming as the core thing rather than just an element that's more of a backdrop.
Now, to argue against myself, and I told Bless yesterday, I was like, I bet you we're going to argue with ourselves more than each other on this.
Yeah.
It's funny because I think that a lot of my Mega Man talk is just bias of me not having really played the original Mega Man games like that. Like, because at the end of the day, you bring up DuckTales. DuckTales is just a Mega Man game. Like, literally, it is. It's just, instead of shooting, you're jumping on your cane and things like that. But
because of the switch in gameplay, where, like, I wouldn't quantify, like, Mega Man, even, like, I played the OGs, I played X. Like, I wouldn't quantify those as platformers because what you're doing to get through levels is, like, more shooting and, like, getting through enemies, whereas the actions that you're taking against enemies in games like DuckTales and even here in Shovel Knight is a combination of, like, action attacking or whatever, but then also, like, using the platforming elements along with that.
See, my problem is, I feel like I'm so with you on this.
Yeah.
But then I think about Mega Man, I'm like, everything you just said is Mega Man. The amount of platforming in Mega Man, like, there is platforming.
I gotta replay Mega Man, because I'm not really thinking of, like, that same level of marriage.
Dude, so many platforms you're jumping on that are disappearing. Like, a lot of the gameplay in Mega Man is skill-based platforming. So again, I'm making an argument for and against myself here, but I do think that at the end of the night, end of the day, Shovel Knight shines through because of its 2D platforming and because the amount of inspiration it takes from a ton of games and nails. Mm-hmm. It's inspiration from Mario 3. It nails. So to me, this is my.
I gotta play through Shovel Knight.
Yeah,
so dude. Good.
Yeah, it's like one of the. It's one of my big omissions of like, man, I can't believe I haven't played through this. But
hey, oh, you haven't touched it at all?
I've touched it a little bit, but I've just not played through it. Is the thing. I think I've done like the first few levels, maybe the first world. I forget which, but yeah, maybe one day. Now here's the thing, right? Mm-hmm. You say you're conflicted with your Shovel Knight pick right here. My number 7 is a controversial one. Katana Zero.
Yeah,
Katana Zero. Now, I think this is the most action-y I can get, and this might be what probably my most controversial inclusion here because it is a 2D like action game, but also does have platforming elements, and also like to the conversation of, all right, what is Mega Man? What is Shovel Knight? Of like having these action moves in there, I think the mobility of Katana Zero and like also the trial and error-ness of it, you know, it reflects a lot of like. Some of them Super Meat Boy, right? It reflects a bit of like a Celeste of like retrying a thing over and over again. And it is a lot of this game is how you move through the levels, right? How do you move? How do you dodge bullets? How do you attack back and all that stuff, right? It's one that if you argue against it, I totally understand. But it's one that I think also reflects the growth and where platformers have gone all throughout the years, right? Like Mario. I was going to say Mario's beginning. I know platformers existed before Mario, but Mario was like the innovative, hey, this is what this can be. This is the range and the length to which a platformer can go. And now we have a bunch of games that have just explored that over the past 30 to 40 years, right? Mm-hmm. And I think Katana Zero is just another example of, hey, this game came out in 2019 and look at where Mario has gone. Like this game doesn't exist without the lengths of which platformers went to evolve the genre. And so that's my argument for it. But also my argument for why this is an incredible game is just the story, the aesthetic, the music, the like unique mechanics to it, the cool dialogue and how you can interrupt dialogue. Like this game has so much going for it in terms of what it brings to the table across the board that like it's probably for me one of the most underrated indie games ever made in my personal opinion. I know that's the lofty statement, but I stand by it because Katana Zero fucking fucks, dude.
Give me Katana 1, please.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where's Katana 1?
I think that's a fair statement. Yeah. However, I don't think this is a 2D platformer. I get what you're saying, but it's the same thing of Mega Man X and all that. Yes, there's platforming elements. There's something about it to me. I'm like, it's more action-y. It's a 2D action game in the same way as I'd look at something like a Contra. That, yeah, there's mobility, and this is different too, but love this game. Don't know about its inclusion on the list, but under your parameters, it fits.
Yeah, I think you make a strong case, but I'm on the side of Tim here, where I think of it less of platforming, but I think you make a strong argument that if we were to read this on someone else's list that we were judging, I think we could have like the, why is this on here? And then reading the argument, I'm like, okay,
I think it's like my one weird one. Actually, I have a couple more.
I love it. Let's get spicy, baby.
All right, Tim, what's your number 7?
My number 7 is, rough one for me to put this low, Donkey Kong Country 2 Diddy's Kong Quest. This game is so damn good, and we always talk about Mario World. I don't think we talk enough about DKC 2. I love Donkey Kong Country 1, some of my favorite levels, some of my favorite music. So much about the first game is so special to me. The second game is just an absolute banger. The way that they use secrets, the music in this game specifically, is David Wise at his damn best. And it is just so much fun. I love the way that both Diddy and Dixie play in this way more than I ever liked Donkey in the first game. And I feel like having two characters I like to play as went such a long way in the enjoyment of the game, in the way that the level design plays out, and kind of just the stories upon stories that this world has. And King K. Rool feels like a villain in this. The pirate themes, everything they have going on. This game just is so special because you get 100% and you're still not done. You realize there's percentages above 100%, and man, that felt fucking good.
Hell yeah. Love that. My number 6, Cuphead. We're getting a little bit wild here, everybody.
I'm going to kick you in.
We're getting a little bit wild here, everybody.
Barrett, walk it off. Oh no.
I mean, listen, there are platforming levels in it, and the main gameplay is
not good.
And the
well, no, not that they're not good. Like, I enjoyed the run and gun because they're literally fine. Called run and guns. They're not.
Listen,
that's not the core of the main gameplay.
The two actions you're doing are jumping and shooting. And
this is a Contra game.
I mean, listen, there could be an argument there. Listen, wait till you get to my number four, all right?
Oh, no.
No,
no, I'm just kidding. It's not Contra. It's not Contra. But no, I stand by it. And again, this falls into the parameter of, like, I'm including 2D action platformers. And I would make the strong argument that Cuphead is an action platformer.
I mean, 100%.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know that I'd even go that far. Cuphead's unique by design. I think if you had to group it in something, I agree. It's an action platformer. But yeah, there's what, four platform levels in the whole game?
I'll also include the boss levels in that as well, just for the, like, so much of it is platforming in terms of, like, how you engage with the action, right?
And, like, there is, like, level of precision there. There is one run-and-gun level that I would consider half of it being, like, platformy, which is the one where you're being chased by the Cyclops at the end. Yeah. And there is, like, some, like, more elements in there, but that's, like, the one main moment that I would consider this, like, platforming. But I get your argument, Plus. I'm not happy with it, but I get it.
Yeah. Listen, I had to love do what I had game. To do to get a list of 10 dope games.
Love this game.
Tim, what's your number six?
My number six. Sonic Mania, man.
Oh, lower than I would have expected.
Lower?
Well, meaning... lower than I would have thought that maybe this would have been top five, but you don't have the same parameters that I do, because I'm doing one game per franchise.
Yeah, so. Gotcha. I do not. I will allow myself to rank these games as they are, as 2D platformers.
Fair enough.
If I'm being honest with myself, like, look, people have their opinions of Sonic. At the end of the day, I truly believe that the majority of people are just straight up wrong about Sonic. Yeah. When it comes to the 2D platformers, it's like, oh, they were never good and all that stuff. The people that say that, I really feel, didn't give them a real shot or aren't 2D platformer fans. And look, I can't speak for everybody. I'm just saying, I've talked to a lot of people where I'm like, if you think that Sonic's just about holding right and going as fast as possible, mm-mm. you don't understand what Sonic actually is.
Yeah.
Maybe the first level, maybe the second level. But right after that, no, man. It's about momentum. It's about low-high, medium paths, figuring out the best course, going through, collecting things, doing it over and over, that type of stuff. Mania is just the greatest hits and then some. I love the look of it, the vibe of it. This is the best art style Sonic has ever had, I think will ever had. Mm. The music is legitimately perfect. I love the remixes. I love the new arrangements. I love the old levels. I love the new levels. I love the remixes of things. Sonic Mania is a damn treat from beginning to end. I've replayed this dozens of times, and I feel like I'm going to continue to do that. I will say that Sonic 3 and Knuckles was the other one that I'm like, yo, real tie, it's a freaking amazing game. In my heart of hearts, in my brain of brains, Bless, wow. I can't argue that Mania is not better. So I had to not include Sonic 3 and Knuckles.
Wow.
That would have been my number 12 on the list.
Wow.
That's courage right
Sonic
there.
Mania at number 6. I stand by it. I think it deserves
now
the spot.
Now I really need to see your top 5.
But I think that this is what Sonic deserves. One spot, and it's for Mania.
Wow. Yeah. At numbers. Wow.
I mean, it is the best Sonic game. Some would say it's the only good Sonic game.
All right, my number 5. If you want to keep getting mad at me, number 5. Oh, no. Inside, baby.
This Again. Is the one that
Let's
you
do not
go.
Realize that
Let's
we
go.
Had. We talk shit about their list.
Let's go.
This is the game you and I had a conversation about, and I told you of like.
And it was after that conversation where I realized I needed to open up my parameters because, again, when we're talking about top 10 2D platformers and what I set out to do with this list, I'm trying to represent the variety and the lengths of which platformers have gone. Right?
So the exact opposite of what we talked shit about from the last list.
Yeah, but the last list had Terraria on it, so fuck that last list.
I mean, it's a different type of game, but I feel like there's like a safe level of like, what is this?
Inside is the best puzzle platformer to ever come out. It is fucking fantastic. I think also it represents a different branch of like where people have gone with the genre. It's a perfect video game just from front to end in terms of the puzzles that that they give you. And the narrative it delivers is fantastic. Like everything they do in Inside is fucking incredible.
I agree with you 1,000% that Inside is... one of, if not the best, puzzle platformer.
Puzzle yes. platformer.
Yes.
Platformer.
Puzzle
platformer.
Puzzle 2D side scroller.
Puzzle platformer.
2D platformer, 2D everybody. Puzzler with maybe some platforming elements.
Platformer, baby.
Fucking love this game. Love this game. But I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Tim Geddes, what's your number 5?
My number 5. is Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze.
Oh.
Another one I had to think hard about because I have an agenda. I want to push DKC 2. I love that game. I think that it is so goddamn good. But if I'm being honest, heart of heart, brain of brains, gotta go with Tropical Freeze because of how far they went with really trying to not just have a cool art style, but to make it part of the gameplay. Every single platform you see in this game has a reason for being there. It's part of the background. It's not just floating platforms. Everything is part of the world. Jumping back and forth between the foreground and background feels so much more important because of that. Mm. And the music interacts with what you're doing. The sound effects of jumping on different things interacts with the music itself. It feels like such a celebration of everything Donkey Kong has ever been, and in its best form, which is 2D platforming. And I just absolutely love this game, and I think it's even better on Switch. And I feel like it's not flawless. I think that there are some boss fights that like overstay their welcome or aren't as congruent with the rest of the experience, but overall, I think that this is an all-timer when it comes to 2D platformers. All right.
Hell yeah. My number four. I got Donkey Kong Country.
Number one
is special to me. It's, you know, like, I definitely understand the argument that Donkey Kong Country 2 better, right? Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze better. Like, I think you can easily make these arguments, but I always, like, oftentimes I find something so special in the first.
Me too.
And what that brings to the table. And when I think about the music, right, like, aquatic ambience and, like, how fucking dope that is and how dope the themes in Donkey Kong Country in general are still speaks to me. The memories of playing the first Donkey Kong Country and, like, you know, having Diddy, having the aesthetic there, like, all these things that have stayed throughout the genre in terms of the enemies, the barrels, like, all this stuff, right? Like, all of it was established in the first Donkey Kong Country, and I think even what Donkey Kong Country brought to the table on the SNES in terms of just, like, graphics, right? And, like, how different and cool that game looked from the get-go. Yeah, like, Donkey Kong Country for me is a special one, and, yeah, that's my number four.
I mean, dude, I can't be mad at it. I feel like I want to nitpick it just because I feel like if we're ranking them, you gotta put two in Tropical Freeze above, but I'm with you that there is something about one, man. There's something like the opening shots, the Rareware logo turning, the sound effects it makes, the cranky winding up the music, and then Donkey coming
Donkey
in.
It made Donkey Kong like what we associate it as today. Yes. You know? Yeah.
And like the tough thing about these lists too is, especially when you're one person making it, is that like I just have way more nostalgia for Donkey Kong Country 1 than the other one.
I totally get it. It's just I look at it a little bit more critically past the nostalgia, and I'm like, the save points are way too spread out, and they're not in optimal positions. Mm-hmm. It has a lot of the same issues that Crash Bandicoot 1 has that gets solved in the future games. Yeah. But yo, hey, I can't be mad at any Donkey Kong Country love unless you're talking about 3.
Because Country, honestly, Blez, Country, if this didn't happen, we wouldn't get DK64.
It's true. That's fair. Tim, what's your number four?
My number four. Oh, my God, guys.
Wow!
Had to do some soul searching for this. Super Mario World. It's a tough one for me because I think that there is actually no question that Mario World is the best that Mario has ever felt. I love the way he controls. I love the moveset that he has in this game better than any other game. The physics of just bouncing off of things and like how high you get and all of that. The sprite work. The just Super Nintendo is my favorite kind of look of 2D games. So everything going into this, I just freaking love. I've fought for Mario World being the best 2D Mario game pretty much my entire life. But in the last couple years, I've come around. And I really feel that when you're one-to-one objectively looking at level design, variety, movesets, power-ups, all that stuff, creativity, secrets, I feel like Mario World doesn't win every one of those arguments.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, it doesn't win the majority of those arguments. Mm. It does win some, though. And that's why it's number four for me.
You know what's wild is I don't think we've had any of the same game yet. Right, Barrett? We have not shared a game yet.
Holy shit.
On this list.
Yeah.
On
it's
a
been
top
completely
10
different
list 2D
so
platformer
far.
List. That's crazy. Well, number let's ruin that with number three. I got Sonic Mania.
Hell yeah.
As my number
dude.
Three.
Dang, top three.
Yeah, wow. No. Love Sonic that. Mania, again, for my one franchise or one game per franchise rule, Sonic Mania was the one I had to choose for Sonic. It's not only the greatest hits, but it's also like the greatest additions at the mm-hmm. same time when mm-hmm. you're talking about everything you said, the art style, the music, right? How it feels to play. It understands so much of what makes the original 2D Sonic game special and fun, and it does that, and even with this new content, it does that and nails it, and like Studiopolis Zone is going to be my one of my favorite 2D Sonic levels forever. And yeah, to your point of what makes Sonic special, the level design and how intricate and different and like, you know, grand it is. You know, I think that is the one thing when people go back and forth again with Mario and Sonic, right? Like, if, as much as I love Sonic, I'm gonna go Mario because yeah. Mario is Mario, and we're talking totally. About quality, you're talking about that. The thing that I think Sonic does have on Mario is like, yeah, like when you have those different paths and it feels like you're just navigating this level that is fucking huge. I think that is a special feeling, let alone the flashiness of Sonic, the vibe and the attitude of Sonic. For me, it brings so much to the table. And Sonic Mania, again, nails all of that. And for sure, yeah, I'm putting it in my top three.
And with that, Bless, I feel like that magic you're talking about is, for me, Sonic often gives you roller coasters,
yes.
but then teaches you to earn them. And then when you earn them and get them, it's just so satisfying. And it's a level of satisfaction that I don't get from Mario games. I get so uh-huh. much from Mario games. But there is something about the thrill of doing the loops and stuff, not when all you're doing is holding right, but when you just did a super complicated thing to get to that point and you're watching it all go. Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
There's a level, like the pacing of Sonic games and Sonic levels is so fantastic to that roller coaster feeling that you're talking about, where it is, all right, we got some platforms to hop in, and then boom, like you're flying upwards, you're flying through loop-de-loops, and now it's back to like trying to figure out a thing. Now you're fighting an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think the way they pace these things out is pretty underrated for like just how good the level design is in Sonic. And so, yeah, shout out to Sonic Mania.
Hell yeah.
What's your number three, Tim?
My number three. Mm-hmm. One of my favorite
wow.
video games.
Whoa. Wow. I was convinced. After seeing World, I was convinced this was going to be number one.
Yeah.
Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island. A game that I will rock for louder than anybody else I know mm-hmm. to the end of my days. And I'm not wrong. It is. Yeah. This is another one like Mario 2. People write off because it's different and it has the Mario World 2 name in it. And a lot of the Yoshi game sense, if not every Yoshi game sense, mm-hmm. just has not been anywhere close to the level of quality of this. But the art style is so unique. And we talk about that now of like seeing games have art styles that we're excited about or like, oh, that's a fresh new take or whatever. When this came out in, I want to say 1996, mm-hmm. nothing looked like this. Like, they pushed the Super Nintendo so far of going with this like crayon drawing storybook style that like it's Nintendo at its best of like they didn't need to do it, but they did.
Yeah.
Especially coming after something like Mario World that we talk about is like, again, I just said, I love the Super Nintendo aesthetic and I think that Mario World's a perfect example of it. There's still a sterility to it, right?
Yeah.
It's still kind of like, yep, that's what a Super Nintendo game looks like. This is not what a Super Nintendo game looks like. This has so much going for it with the different effects chips that the game had, the cartridge had, all of that. But also, I think the things that aren't talked about enough in this game is its sense of scope and scale when it comes to boss fights, mini boss fights, the levels themselves, the level design. Like, I first thought about level design in video games playing this, of being like, oh, wow, this part connects to this part this way. That's crazy to me. Every Mario game before this was, you go right, you get to the end. Mario World, and to an extent, 3 and 2 definitely added some verticality, right?
Mm-hmm.
This game, not the first one to do it, but was the first one to get right collecting things, adventuring around levels, looking at each level, having the 5 red coins to get, or the 20 red coins, the 5 flowers. Mm-hmm. You are incentivized to 100% each level, not just to get to the end and to look at every nook and cranny in a way that Mario 1, you couldn't even go back the screen if you passed it, right?
Yeah.
This game really pushed you to, like, there was puzzle elements to it. There was challenging boss fights. There's epic, grand things happening. The transformation abilities. There's so much in this game, and I think that, like, I could just rave about almost every single element of it. Yeah, baby Mario crying is annoying when you get hit. Mm. Get good, motherfuckers. Don't get hit.
Get good. All right, now we're down to our top two. And I really wonder if we have the same number two and number one. Like, part of me thinks that we might have.
I think we might.
The same two and number
one.
I
think we might. But what order are we going?
Oh, well, we're about to see. Barrett, my number two. Celeste.
Blessing, yeah. My number two. Celeste.
Celeste. All right, let's go. Woo! We share number two. And I think this is the thing we can hold hands on. Celeste is the final boss of indie 2D platforms.
Yep.
And it is one of the best platformers. Probably one of the best video games ever made.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking incredible just from what we talk about in terms of good level design and good 2D platformer design. It takes what we love about Super Meat Boy with what we love about, like, you know, Mario and Sonic, and like kind of smashes it all together and just creates good as fuck levels, right? Like, you are getting into the nitty gritty of this dash mechanic, and like the game incentivizes you to get good at that dash mechanic and like curates levels for that. But yeah, being able to try over and over again, and like even when you die, have that right away, boom, get back into it, and I'm gonna go for the strawberry for the extra thing, right? And that's like even talking about Mario World 2, right? Like Yoshi's Island, getting that extra thing so you can, like, you know, 100% the game. Celeste gives us all of that, and then on top of it gives us an incredible narrative, and on top of that gives us an incredible soundtrack, and like anything you can ask for out of this video game, it gives it to you and does a phenomenal job.
I can't say any of that better. That is exactly why I have it here. It pretty much doesn't get better than this. Mm. It arguably doesn't get better than this. I feel like there's a case that this is the best 2D platformer of all time.
Yep.
This was one that I struggled with in a different way, because I was really... The reason that Super Meat Boy ended up getting kicked to my number 11 spot is I actually think that the things I like most about Super Meat Boy, this game does better.
Fair.
And I feel like because of that, when I'm looking at the rest of my list, trying to represent some different franchises different ways, or different entries in a franchise that I think deserve the love, I look at Celeste and I'm like, this game just shines, man, through and through. So yeah, my number two.
And at number one, at least my number one, Super Mario Brothers 3.
My number one, Super Mario Brothers 3.
Oh yeah.
AB. Oh my God, you'll love to see it. Bless.
What an excellent game. My favorite 2D Mario. And like, again, I had to like do one per franchise, and Mario 3 was the easy pick for me, right? Like, for me, it's not even a debate, even though I understand why it's a debate for many people. For me, like, Mario 3 just nails it in terms of art style and secrets and level design and giving you everything that you love out of a Mario game. And for me, like, it's even the nostalgia that's tied up with it, right? Of like that being me and my siblings' favorite game growing up, and playing that game every Sunday after church, right? Like, that is, it's, there's that personal element to it, but just as a video game, Super Mario 3 shines so well.
Mario 3 is so special that I just feel like it's silly to even try to talk about. We know,
yeah.
We get it. But to me, it is everything you just said, the nostalgia, the it actually being as good as everyone says it is, it holding up to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're playing the original version, the Super Nintendo All-Stars version, which is the one I grew up playing, or the Game Boy Advance version that includes all the e-card reader levels that you should absolutely play. If you haven't, if you have Switch Online, you can play this. It comes with it, and all the e-card levels are unlocked. I think there's like 36 of them. They're excellent. Some of the best Mario 3 levels are in this, and they got power-ups from like Mario World. You can use the cape in Mario 3. It's so damn cool, and it's just awesome, and it's there now. You can play it. But I'll never forget playing Mario Sunshine and approaching the final boss, like approaching Bowser in whatever the fuck he was in. And you're like on this like boat situation, and you're using Flood to push yourself through this like lava river. And I'm noticing that some of the platforms, there's not many platforms,
mm-hmm.
but they're coming out of the lava and they're checkerboard floor.
Yeah.
And it was this moment where I was like, oh my God, this is like the floor from the castles in Mario 3.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. And I just like had this fucking moment as like a 11-year-old kid or whatever, just being like, I care so much about the lore and world of Super Mario that I, without ever having even thought about the checkerboard floors that were just there, but the design aesthetic of Nintendo is so good and so strong that through environmental storytelling in Mario Sunshine, I picked up on something that I've to this day never heard anyone talk about. Because why would they? It's not that interesting. It's not even like that special. But something about that was like, somebody gave a fuck about that. It's not just random shit being put together. And like, that's Mario, man. Like, there's a magic to Mario because people really care. And Mario 3, I think, is the biggest evidence of people caring. We know what Mario 1 was. We know what Mario 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
3, they were like, how far can we fucking take this thing?
And they took it pretty damn far.
They took it. They flew all the way to the sky.
To the clouds.
With the raccoon tail.
Exactly.
Yeah. Honestly, again, as the impartial judge here, I would say that both of these lists... Maybe one gets a one thumbs up as like a, you know, like a, it's a.
And I take a quick detour.
Yeah. And then the other one is a two thumbs up. You know, maybe there's some some arguments that I think are strong arguments, but not arguments I would agree with. But I think both lists say unique things, do a good job at that, of saying something, but then also landing in the right places that don't feel out of left field too much like a Terraria. So
yeah,
fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I do want to give a couple of real quick shout-outs. I gave most of them already, but one shout-out's not even the word. Spelunky's not on my list. I haven't played Spelunky. That's a game, and Yooka-Laylee is another example. I think both of those, if I played them, I imagine would actually get slopped here.
Same for me with Rayman and some of the games that were on your list as well. Like, even, Donkey Kong Country, Country Tropical Freeze.
Yeah.
Well.
Like, one day.
Sure, that would hit.
You're
going to
get changed, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to get changed first.
And then the other one.
Donktober back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The other one is New Super Mario Bros. U. It's a game that gets just completely written off and shat on. And, like, I want to rock for it. It's another Tim Agenda thing where I'm like, yo, the level design in this game is fucking awesome.
So,
and, like,
good.
It's, this game is good. It's not like the other ones. Not to say the others are bad, but, like, I feel the others are kind of like, take it or leave it. This one you can't. This one's so goddamn good.
Is that the one though where it's like if you play like if you play multiplayer but someone's playing on the Wii U gamepad, they can only like fuck around with the environment?
Yeah,
I remember that being weird.
Yeah,
but outside of that, that's a fantastic fucking game.
There's the Switch, there's the Mario U Deluxe, right? You can just play it on the Switch. It's so good. Arguably some of the best level design, some of the best boss fights, some of the whatever. But at the end of the day, I can't lie to myself. As much as I want to stand for it, it's nowhere close in my mind to Mario 3, Mario 2, Mario World, and Mario World 2. So I'm like, okay, it doesn't make the top 10.
Fair enough. And also, like, before my one game per franchise rule, I wanted to give love to Sonic 2 in particular because I'm such a big Sonic 2 person. So shout out Sonic 2. And then also, shout out Super Mario Maker 2. I was going to shout out Super Mario Maker 2 is like probably somewhere on the bottom of the list, but the fact that you can play any Mario art style and just play infinite Mario levels alone should get you a spot on the top
straight up
platforms list.
It's funny you saying Sonic 2. I'm so exactly with you in terms of our mutual love of DKC 1 and Sonic 2 being like, that is the one.
That's the
for
one.
Me. That's the one. But it's like, I can't in good faith say that like 2 is anywhere close to the quality of 3 and Knuckles, and especially not of Sonic Mania.
Of course.
But,
yeah.
Like, Sonic Mania just does 2 better, period.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, let us know some of your favorite 2D platformers. And also, let us know what you think of our lists. Do you think they're the shit, or do you think they're shit? Let us know in the comments below. Until next time, this has been a special edition of The Shit List. I've been Blessing. That's been Tim. That's been Barrett. It's been our pleasure to serve you.